Welcome to the Dr. Drew Podcast. Got a big show today. Don't forget to support the people that support us here. Click through the Amazon banner and support the get that 30% discount at Hydrolite. And go over to my Instagram page, Dr. Drupinski. We're doing a lot of Instagram live stuff there. And welcoming Fred Stoller. Hey, buddy.
Hey, I start with an apology.
No, hold on. Now, let's even back up before an apology.
I should have reached out for this silly thing. I'm wasting your time. My credibility is shot.
Let's talk about the guy who you affected so positively.
Yes, he should have been on this.
No, you were going to tell me the story about it. You texted me a testimonial from some guy. Tell me about this.
Well, I was with a friend at this. I'm like one of those annoying people. I tell a story and they set up. It's a restaurant that has chicken. I don't have to. What was it? It's a fried chicken place. I forgot what it's called. Yardbird. It's a really good one.
Nice.
And so the waiter comes over and he was just such a fan of mine, but mostly from this show and how something I said with you really helped his self-confidence.
Yeah.
We should add him on because I forgot what it was, but it was something like you said something that frightened him and me, but it was reassuring that things don't get changed. You don't get more confident, but you accept yourself better. Something like that. We're always who we are, but we come to terms with it. Something like that helped the guy.
I think we're talking more about anxiety and things like that. And personality. And I was saying, you know, it's hard to change personality. It's very, very difficult. It sort of doesn't happen. But who you are, you can become more accepting of and embracing towards and kind to. And, you know, use your own strengths and weaknesses more effectively.
So, okay. Yeah, that's true. He interpreted that about confidence. He's got confidence problems, but somehow he interpreted in a way that was helpful, and I really felt good.
Yeah, good. In a weird way, you sent a video of him talking to me, and he didn't seem like a guy with a confidence problem, right?
Well, he is Korean, and he was adopted by in the Midwest. I forgot if it was Minneapolis. So it's like he never really fit in with the Asian culture or the Caucasian culture.
Oh, yeah. So you're never good enough for anywhere.
Yeah. So growing up in Minneapolis or something where his identity – I mean, I have my friend, his son is partially hearing impaired, but he never connected with the deaf community. So I get those – I guess some black people have that same thing where they don't fit into
lots of people that have –
and he was adopted by white parents.
Differing kinds of mixed identities have trouble belonging all one place or all another.
Right. And especially wherever it was, again, I think Minneapolis, it's not a diverse place that has the culture. So
that's right.
He sent over some free rolls.
Nice.
And so it was really, I really felt good that.
You help somebody.
Yes. There's a few people that have reached out and said things that I didn't understand, like one guy at the drugstore, you show away. I don't know. Maybe I'm hoping. So,
How's Pearl, speaking of helping somebody?
She's 90 and
– this is Fred's mom, Pearl.
She's still in the retirement community, which the funny, sad thing is that people our age are moving in. And
no.
Yes.
That's sick.
So the people live underneath her are a little bit younger than me.
No.
Yeah, because you only have to be 55.
And my God.
And people like police officers or whatever, transit authority, they want to retire as soon as they can.
Yeah.
So she feels really left out because, you know, most of her friends are dying. Her whole life she's been saying it's almost over and she accentuates who's dying.
70 years.
But now she really is feeling more isolated. And then she has some medical thing where she doesn't recognize faces up close. What is that?
Well, it's probably a macular degeneration.
Yeah. So
it's not that if she can see the face, she recognizes it. She just can't see it.
She can watch the news. She likes the guy in CNN Polo, she said.
What's that?
I figured out she was thinking Marco Polo. She says Rachel Maddow she doesn't have patience for. She talks too fast, but she likes Polo.
Cuomo.
She was meeting Cuomo.
That's so funny.
So she's paranoid. She thinks when she was in the pool that they're taunting her, going, "Can you see me, Pearl? Do you recognize me?" When they were probably just saying, "Do you recognize me?" So she thinks they taunt her in the pool.
But she's still mad at me.
I don't think she walks around going that Dr. Drew, but my as you know, she doesn't believe you think she's nice and she doesn't believe you.
And your sister?
And my sister, you know, my sister's been embarrassed by her whole life, like that she gets words wrong. Like my friend has twins and she goes, "Did they come from the same wound?" How could you have given birth twice and not know the word womb? So whenever my mother says, "Oh, he's Norm Crosby," the young people don't know who he is.
No, they have no idea.
Do you know who he is?
I know of him.
His shtick was getting things wrong, like mind bottling, my mother says. And so my sister thought I had her on here humiliating her. And my mother didn't know what a podcast was.
She was a what episode was that, Gary? People became fans of hers.
Yes, the first one I did, and yes. Yeah, so my sister hated that I had her back and told her, "Dr. Drew, don't trust him." So my sister's first of many to warn people. So for a 90-year-old, well, she's always saying it's almost over her whole life. So she goes, "Now it really is." So
and
you
your
know.
Buddy Jimmy O Yang.
Now
a Crazy Rich Asian.
Oh, he's rate for his crew anymore. He hangs out with
what?
He's with who's this guy? Amino? I don't know who. No, I saw him. I think I saw him a few days ago.
Okay.
He is what's that slick term? On fire? Blowing up.
Blowing up.
Well, he's got the best of both worlds. And Silicon Valley is the cachet show.
Yeah.
It's not the one like NCIS, the whole America watches, but it's the cool like madman of comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's in Crazy Rich Asians, which is a number one in the world thing.
Yeah.
So, he hangs out with not Blake Lively or something.
While you think of it, one of the episodes with Pearl is 272.
Okay.
Actually, I talked to Jimmy yesterday and I was trying to cancel this and he goes, "No, own up to Dr. Drew what you did," because I feel like I've lost credibility.
You have not lost credibility, but let's hear the story.
Okay.
So this is why this is why Fred's here. There's a story behind all this. We're just getting caught up now.
So a while back, well,
how did you meet this woman?
Well, I didn't get catfished. No, it's all legit.
Now, let me just say, set this up by saying, I've seen videos of women yelling at you.
Yeah.
What is that all about? Gary, can you pull one of those up? Are they on Facebook? Where were they?
Gary's gone. What are you talking about?
Where were they? Were they Twitter?
I think I put on Instagram. This woman, she
– Fred Instagram.
Let me ask you about AA. I know I'm going in old directions.
AE?
AA.
AA.
Now, there are a lot of people, when they're in AA or the spiritual
– program,
they make it like it's Jesus and – "I don't judge, but you don't get it together. I'm spiritual," and she's like that with AA and spirituality. Like you don't do the work.
I would suggest that being harsh and aggressive towards someone is like Christians being unchristian.
But don't a lot
you.
Of AA people do that?
They can get a little
proselytizing,
sanctimonious,
yes.
Proselytizing.
Saved me. It's going to save you.
We call them book thumpers.
Yes.
Book thumpers.
So she's just so I know another woman just like her.
But she was just screaming at you.
Thinks Bikram yoga, whatever that is, saved her life.
Yoga. Oh, man.
And fuck you, don't get better, don't do yoga. Go right. And so
they're not angry with you for drinking or smoking pot. They're angry with you.
Not doing yoga and being spiritual.
Right.
I know two women. This one is the most angry spiritual person because you don't do the work and like she does. So then she started trying to be funny, but
yelling at you.
Yes,
it was hard to watch. I want to put it up. I want Gary to play it if she can find it.
But that's
the background of how women are treating you these days. And so when I heard about this other one coming to town that you wanted to talk about, I thought, oh shit. So
you know, this once actually happened once before. Where I thought I met a girlfriend and I said, "We're going to do a podcast where Fred Stoller met a girl." I thought I met someone really cool and attractive and quirky. But then she ended up, we actually once did a lot. You met her. We did a live podcast. Remember where she got up and there was a guy staying with her and he with his dog and she couldn't kick him out. So I was dating a woman whose ex-boyfriend was staying on the floor like a dog.
Was she up on the set with
us? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I thought I Dr. Drew, I'm seeing a young woman. She's in porn, but I didn't know she was in porn.
What?
And she gets
Wait a minute. Now, come on. Now, slow it down. Where'd you meet this woman?
All right. So a few years ago.
You find the yelling?
Is the video in question the woman balancing like a big piece of wood on her head?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
I saw another one where she's driving or something.
Yeah, she would just say, have fun, go to
can we play that one?
Go to Halloween.
Hey, look for the one with the driving one where she's just
I don't want to give her publicity. Maybe not.
Oh, come on. I want to hear people are going to go to your website, your Instagram.
All right. I'll put it up on my I'll do Andy Kindler always likes using an expression. I'll pin it. I'll pin the tweet. I'll pin it. So basically what happened was on Instagram when I first got on it a few years ago, you notice when someone likes every one of your things and you go, who is this?
Yeah.
So I see, it's an attractive woman and she had like a fashion blog it wasn't sexual, I didn't think, but there was one where she was naked, the ass in a shower, and it was interesting, and so she saw I liked everything. Hey, I didn't mean to like all yours, and she had these kind of blogs, rants, and I didn't think she was a stripper because
was she?
Yeah,
okay.
There were no piercings, the Bonnie Rotten, who I like.
Yeah, no one ever strips without piercing.
Yes,
ever.
Piercings or grunginess she
was a clean stripper.
Yeah, and why would she reach after me? And I think she's heard me on podcast stuff.
So you're looking at her Instagram. You're seeing her ass bare naked in the Instagram.
Yes.
You're somehow learning that she's a stripper, I guess.
Well, we would talk. We talked.
Where?
I don't remember how it led. This is many years ago.
Talk on the phone or?
I think so. This is like 3-4 years ago.
Okay. All right. So you start talking and you find out she's a stripper. Okay.
She's a stripper and she would send writings that she was doing blogs about a stripper. And she's, I don't want to give away who she is because she's.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
But she's in another city. She's in another city. Where it's a more artsy city. What's the point? What I'm trying to say. Okay. So now today there's a thin line where you could be a stripper or porn, but you're also on comedic rants. You know what I mean? There's someone who I came across who did a full blown porn, and she's like a comedian. And what's my point? Okay, so
point is there's a lot of crossover right now.
Exactly. So I thought she's one of these artsy
comedians,
like stripping, but performance
art comedians.
So basically, then I didn't see her until I was opening for Norm Macdonald briefly.
Okay. Was that when I saw you guys? Way back then?
Yeah, but she wasn't there. She's in a different city.
But I mean, that was
yes,
a while
that's
ago.
When I yeah okay. yeah. So we were in a city. We were performing, and this was, we went out to eat with Norm, and she took us to a bookstore, and she's really well read. Again, if someone gets me, they're not into hey dudes, Opie and Anthony. Well, I don't know what I'm saying. We're from the farmers the comic strip. Well, I can't think of the word I'm trying to say. It's aggressive kind of comedy seller. I don't know
comedy
what the fuck
New York.
I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So basically, I didn't care for her for 2 years.
Because?
I don't know. I think she had a boyfriend or something.
Okay.
You
were friendly, but that's that.
That's that.
Okay.
Then all of a sudden, I get a text. I don't recognize the number. Hey, it's me. Oh, hey, what are you doing? She goes, I'm in porn now. Oh, really? She was hinting at it that she may try it. So I was, checking out her stuff.
How was it?
Some of it I like. I'm from a different generation. I don't like when women are choked or they spit or just smacking them or you know what I mean.
Okay.
I sound like such a dude. They get smacked. They're bad.
Oh, boy.
And but she's very attractive, and she would come to town once in a while. And, I would give her my critiques. No, I'd say
of
like
– porns?
Yes. I like the ones where they're not, where you're nice and they're nice. No, she was really cool. She got my generation and we have the same sensibilities a lot. And, a story or, and I never liked strippers or strip clubs.
I Stormy Daniels used to come on Loveline.
Uh-huh.
And she came on when she was a performer, and then she came on later when she was a director producer of pornography. So she goes, look, because I learned how to make pornography for women and men, because that's what I wanted to do, is make porns for women. And she goes, and here's the deal. Men want to see people having sex. Women want to know why those people like each other so much, and
maybe
they want to have sex.
I'm feminine.
So the story.
That's why I don't like strip clubs. It's impersonal. I want to believe the story, even if it's so fake. Like she really was a cop and throwing clothes off there.
Okay.
I do want to.
Well, you notice that in male strip clubs, every male stripper has a job when he walks into the – he's a fireman. He's a
Indian chief.
And then he loses his job and he's a stripper. When men watch strippers, those women – have a job. Their job is stripper. That's their job.
I never like when you turn on the click and it's just sex. There was one guy.
You want a nurse outfit or a police outfit?
No, even there was a guy. This is how sick I am. I know the name. Dirty Debutantes, where he would interview people and he'd promise it's their first time. And I loved what made you do it.
Okay.
Yes. So I had a thing. We'll talk about some other time where I did, what are they called? Not reenactments. Scenarios.
Yeah.
So even if it's a fake story,
okay.
I like there's a personal thing.
Okay.
Like,
Dan, you told
I
her
know
that.
You rather than – so basically what happened was she was in L.A. and she texted me, hey, you want me to come over? A scene got canceled because they didn't have the scenery ready. It was a girl on girl. Like, why don't you just put the scenery like a bookmark in the background? What the set wasn't ready.
I know. Was that me? Yes.
Yeah, so –
the porn set wasn't ready.
So she came over and she's a cool person. I didn't
– Did you start dating?
Well, I thought we were.
For how long?
Well, define dating. I thought it was more
together?
Than it was. What?
Sleeping together?
You said, did I finger
sleeping
her?
Together.
Well, yes.
Having
sort
sex.
Of. So, well, let me tell you the story.
Uh-huh.
So it's I never, when she came over, thought anything would happen. I'm almost 30 years older than her. I never thought – she wasn't a porn person. I sought out. You know what I'm saying? We talked about books
custom.
And books about loneliness. What?
Nothing.
What about my sister?
I said, as is your custom, to seek out porn stars.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
So no, it wasn't like someone, hey, even when I masturbate, I don't have fantasies. I think I reimburse people I didn't pay. No, people relive people I already was.
Sure, or, okay. All right.
So, you know what I'm saying? I don't. Right. So basically.
But this one went a little, started going. This one started going somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Right, that first day when she came over?
Yeah, well, okay. She somehow mentioned a sugar daddy, like was texting. I go, what's a sugar daddy? What does that mean? Totally said,
but she want you to be the sugar daddy, or she had a sugar daddy?
Well, I know they can have a few. And I go, could I be a sugar daddy? Because this guy buys her a dress sometimes. And she goes, okay. And
is that when you figured we're dating?
Well,
I'm the sugar daddy?
I didn't have to. I bought some weed. We went to a dispensary. And it was really – I don't think this sexually. We were talking and she was getting concepts. Like sometimes I feel like I'm 40 years in the future. There's a noir kind of movie and it's like at an art house, but it's about L.A. in the 2018s. And I'm some weird, lonely kind of character actor guy in a movie, in a noir in 2000.
And you're exchanging pot for sex.
Yeah, no, well, so basically, and she did something never happened on pod. Her face morphed where she looked like a different person.
Uh-oh.
I don't mean she looked like, you or, Dick Cheney, but I'm saying she looked her, but her face looked different. Okay, so then.
When did that happen?
You know.
During sex?
No, with the edible.
Oh,
it's not like a weird thing. Oh, I'm with my mother.
No. I mean, because maybe she has something more in the MPD zone, multiple personality type dissociative disorder.
Well, yeah, because so we went in my room and it was great because, again, like with my porn, I like a story, a familiarity, not like, hey, anyone, you come here.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, we would text and call, but it wasn't even sexual. It was like she wasn't even sexting. It was
How often did you have to buy her pot?
It wasn't a sugar daddy thing.
Oh,
no. That was just a thing, a line.
Okay.
But no. I didn't supply her with anything. She went back to the town she's from.
Okay.
And, we did talk about things we thought, sexual. We did talk, but it wasn't like, And so we didn't have full sex. But I got tested. It was weird watching her porn because you're thinking, I could do this with her, and this is the person. She is looking at me because she wants to do things.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was really weird. And I knew it put me in a bad reality because if I do mess around with her, it's going to really break me because I won't be able to be with some of the yentas I've been with. Or
then you can get jealous and weird about that.
Yeah, or just how do I go back to the woman who I have to see – her kid's plays and the kid has a problem and kicked me. I tried being normal. I tried dating single moms. But anyway, how do I go back to that Susie Essman world? I think of like, I'm not saying they're all like the one on Susie Essman. No, I'm being stupid. I'm exaggerating. But what was I saying? So she told me where to get tested because in porn, they all get tested.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I was so thrilled to do stuff even without that.
Yeah, yeah.
But all right, I want to, know what it's like. And I thought, I'm your age and I may not have a lot of years left and just have adventures. Okay. And so she was supposed to come out and I went to this place to get tested with a porn, and they go, "You talent?" And I thought I had a lie. Say
it's
yes.
Called You Talent?
No, they asked if I was talent.
Oh my God, how funny.
Yes, because it's where all the and it's this database.
What if you'd said no?
Probably would have been all right. I didn't have to lie, you know. And
so you go into a database?
I go to a place, and the doctor looks like Ricky Gervais with tattoos all over his arms.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
And it's, and it's porn people. And there's a database. This is where she told me to go.
You're in the database for porn.
Oh, my God.
Now. It's the best. Gary, Fritz Stoller is in the porn database.
And I didn't know why. There was a reason why I can't just do it to a doctor. This they tell you the next day. And so I go there. Did you want the gold panel? There's this thing. And I go, I don't know. And I called her. And she said, yeah, get the old one.
Was it expensive?
It was like $125 or something.
Not bad.
Yeah, it's the cheapest and the quickest, and it's where all the producers go to see who's getting tested.
Wow.
Some thing. So you see all the weird people there, and I said, oh, I forgot. Am I supposed to fast the day before? He goes, no, this guy you see, he was on coke. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. So even though I know – I probably don't have anything. You always hear about this is dormant in this guy.
Yeah,
or
you're fine.
Yeah. So it was weird because they text you.
And so what happened? So
did you wait? All right. You, Jimmy, when I was telling the story, well, I was giving him all the salacious details, and he came, "Did you fuck her? Did you?" Oh, Jimmy. So
it's just like the character in The Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. So what's the question? I'm babbling too much.
So she was supposed
to come out.
You were negative.
We had this whole thing
she was going to come out.
I thought it was like a. Even though I know we're not in a relationship, I thought it's a relationship as I understand it because she's really cool, and I thought I'd see her when she comes out. I'd stock the place up with snacks. I didn't have snacks last time, and she wanted me to do dabs, and she was going to bring someone else, and. And she's
have a threesome?
I thought so.
Oh boy.
She built it all up and I wanted to go on here because sometimes she cancels trips. She was supposed to come out before, but she said she had post-traumatic stress.
And you wanted to bring her on here so I could sort of thump on her? See what's wrong with her?
But she wanted it. She thought it'd be great and I'm gonna be honest.
Okay.
I was even thinking that I knew I'm so repetitious when I say rationally. I knew we're not a couple, but I thought maybe this is how I could be a couple as I understand it. Like I feel like meaning
– it could be something.
I really felt there was a connection. She got me. I didn't hear from her for a few days. Why are you mad at me? No, I adore you. So even and I thought maybe
– where is it now?
Where it now is she's been in town a week and hasn't responded to any of the texts.
So she's here, but you're not seeing her.
No, ghosted me, and that's and I feel.
And you were going to bring her over here, and we were going to talk about this relationship.
Well, we were going to talk about. Yeah, I wanted reassurance that.
Now I think my listeners are going to really want this.
I wanted reassurance.
I think tell her she needs to come up here because the listeners are going to want to hear
I wanted this. Reassurance that the testing would be okay without a condom, what dabs were. Someone said if you do it, you'll go chasing the next high.
Don't you agree with me, Gary? People are going to want this resolved in some way.
Either that or they're going to want him to do dabs on the show.
I thought I'm older. Why not have fun, do dabs, be with this beautiful woman without the condom? And I wanted to get the – but she wanted it. Okay, this is why I brought it up to her going on your show.
Yeah.
That I really thought that there was something like I'm the middle-aged neurotic comedian sort of with the young porn actress – but it would be different if it was a show like Bert Kreischer. I know he's married. I'm just throwing out aggressive, hey, dude, or Buffalo Barry or one of these bro guys.
More comedy.
But I thought there's a genuine fondness with each other.
Yeah, I'm fascinated.
And I really want to –
I'm worried that she may have
– we talked about actually not a stupid reality show like, honey, I'm home. Oh, here's my replica pussy. Oh, I'm tired. You know, or hey, you know, where you left a dildo out. You know, I really thought to explore – what I thought was going to be something, even
though
not a relationship.
It's not over yet. Who knows what
will
happen here.
But this is what I'm guessing
happened.
You're
not being crazy, which is good.
I thought this is something, and I thought put out this dynamic out there of me and her.
Yeah.
And I feel I totally lost your credibility that I didn't come through, and me without her isn't good.
No, you without her is excellent. It's great. Now I think we've wedded everyone.
No, but this is why I think she's not coming on.
Oh.
What? Wrap it up?
Yeah.
No, I have a question. I was just trying to get Drew's attention, but go ahead.
But why isn't she not coming? Then we're going to get Drew's
question. This is what I think. Two things. I think she got cold feet that someone probably shouldn't know that maybe there's something there, and I think she disassociated herself with that. The other speculation is there were a few other times she was supposed to come out, and she didn't because she was suffering post-traumatic stress. So
from what?
Not her. This is what I wanted to talk to you too about because I wanted to understand it. Not her father, her first marriage. I didn't know people had traumatic
stress. Well, your post-traumatic stress symptoms can come out after a second trauma. So that means there was an earlier trauma probably that got activated by the second trauma.
So basically, I'm more embarrassed this happened, Drew, because what am I expecting? I mean, it was silly. As Jimmy said, the only thing I'm out is no money, nothing, just
– little money.
Nah, I didn't.
Testing, but now you know you're not.
Oh, the testing.
Clean.
No, I know. I wanted to walk around with it on my iPhone to women at the Grove. Hey,
yeah,
I'm clean.
Yeah,
I'm
super clean. Gold.
So
gold profile.
I'm the gold profile.
I'm on the talent database.
Yes.
Pornography.
Yeah, they'll be calling me. So
worldwide models.
So I think either. Look, this severe pathology. I don't know if this is a generalization. One guy I know dated a strip. He said 100% of them have abuse. And I think with porn – so that's why I'm not mad at her.
Gary, what's your question?
Fred, do you smoke weed?
You don't remember his whole weed story?
I remember it, but I'm asking if he does it on a regular basis
currently.
Well, this is what I do.
Yes or no?
I've been taking more edibles because
– why? Why did you ask?
And you've never done a dab, is that correct?
I did, but she had a different way to do it. But I did do it, but I never did it with two women. And no,
yeah.
Why do you ask?
I don't know.
Does it sound like a good idea?
They'll put you on a different planet.
Okay.
I mean, dabs are super intense for people who smoke a lot of pot.
Yes.
So if you don't smoke a lot of pot and you do even one dab, you're going to be on a different level.
I think I did once smoke it at this place and I had to sit on a couch and I couldn't move for hours.
There you go. And that was my question.
Yeah. But it was all –
Do you think you're smoking too much pot lately?
What's up?
You're picking up on maybe he's doing a little too much pot these days?
No. I had the opposite thing, which is I don't think that he is – I don't think he's dabbling in things that will make the dabs a good experience. Yeah, I think he's going to do someone, one dab, and he's going to be in a very uncomfortable
position. Maybe the thing is that I know someone else who does dabs, and his friend said, because he's been doing weed for 30 years, and I think – and I asked my friend, he said, you'll be chasing that high. So that's why I was concerned.
Well, now I want you to tell her that you've been up here. We heard the story, and now we're all intrigued. We want to meet her. We want to interview her.
I think that she's afraid of something.
Well, tell her that it's on her terms. She can set the guidelines, and we'll figure out what's going on.
I don't even know if I want to.
Come on now.
And let me tell the viewers, if they're still listening, I'm not following on Twitter, in case you're trying to like look at who I follow, what porn stars I defriended. That I don't want to see what she looks like and get excited again. And right now I have no resentment, no hostility.
Yeah, but you can still be an adult and bring her in here and figure out what happened.
I'm not sure if it's acceptable the ghosting for a week when I set up you. This is real estate, Dr. Drew show.
But I bet that she's got some pretty serious. It's either another guy that she's spending time with.
Yes.
Or there's some serious symptomatology. She already told you she has PTSD type stuff, so that may prevent her from functioning.
No, that's why I have no animosity.
And you said the face changes and stuff makes me worry about dissociative identity disorder.
No, that was me. Face changed to me.
No, but the reason it did, it may be something she's putting out.
She looked like, but do you ever look at people? Yeah. I think it's with sexy people. Like with this woman, she's so sexy, but then you look at her a different light. You go, I could see how she was that bookwormy nerd in high school. Where you see that person, or you see someone else.
Yep.
And I know that we're wrapping up, and I'm mad at myself because I wanted to practice not interrupting people. I annoy people and letting you talk. So I'm sorry.
This is your interview. You're talking. I interrupt you. That's all.
No. And again,
it's good to see you, my friend.
It's really always good to see you.
You look well. You look unusually well, by the way. You look like
I'm doing Iyengar yoga twice a week. Do you know what that is?
Whatever it is, it's helping you.
Yeah. And I do need to throw out edibles because I'll do it every night. But I finished the first draft of a new book I'm writing. I didn't sell it. There's no proposal because I need to write it and know what it is. And so I'm very excited about that. And always
– your mood seems good. You've been through this relationship without getting worked over too bad.
No. Again, I'm more upset that I'm more ashamed at myself that I put this pitch to come on your show for frivolous intentions.
I love it. Relax. We're good.
Jimmy goes, be honest. You want to get laid? No, I'm doing a bad Chinese impression. Be honest.
We're good, and we will wrap this thing up, and we'll bring her back at some point, I hope. I trust she'd come, and she's welcome to come up here.
So I shouldn't get mad if she reaches out. Yeah, no. Tell
you
empathy.
Empathy. Yeah, something's up.
As long as you're not mad.
I'm not mad. This is fun. Good to see you.
You
too. Excuse to see you, and they'll be back with your calls.
Well, I think you've heard me talk about Purple before. It feels differently than anything you've ever experienced because it uses this brand new material developed by an actual rocket scientist. And I'm telling you, it pays off. It's both soft and firm. Everyone that uses it in our house loves it. You feel supported while feeling comfortable. It's breathable, so you feel cool. And there's a 100-night risk-free trial. If you're not fully satisfied, you return your mattress for a full refund. It's backed by a 10-year warranty. Free shipping and return. Listen, there's no way you couldn't love this mattress. You're going to love Purple. And right now, for our listeners, you get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of the mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. So you got to text the keyword Drew, D-R-E-W, to the number 474747, and you will get that free pillow. But listen, you're going to be happy with Purple. It just shows up. And if you're not happy, you send it back, but you will be. If you're looking to buy a car, you are familiar with terms like MSRP, but of course, you don't know what it stands for, or invoice price, list price, dealer price. What does that all mean? I don't know. It's meant to confuse you, I think. What you really want is the actual price that means something, and thus TrueCar is introducing True Price. Now you know exactly what you pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you ever get to the dealership. TrueCar dealers will show you the true price on the cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of your home. And you know it's a true price, a great price, because TrueCar shows you what other people paid for the same car you want. And when you lock in that price, you know you're locked in a vehicle on that TrueCar certified dealer's lot, whether you're going for new or used. And your certified dealers know this. They set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy new or used, visit TrueCar.com. to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Hey, if you love my show, you're going to love What Now with Jessica Graf on Podcast One. The Big Brother contestant and winner of The Amazing Race joins hubby Cody Nixon as they navigate life after reality TV and the new waters of parenthood. Check out What Now with Jessica Graf every Tuesday on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
And welcome back to Dr. Drew Podcast. We are, of course, taking your calls. I want to make a reminder, go to drdrew.com, click through the banners there. Save 30% on Hydrolite, support us through Amazon. The people that support us there at the website at drdrew.com, we select them very carefully and are happy to have them on board with us. Support the pirate ship here at the Corolla Enterprise. We appreciate it so, so much. I'm going to some calls. We may have Lynette Corolla in here shortly. This is Drew. What's up there?
Hey, Dr. Drew. I talked to you a couple months ago.
Okay.
Going through a divorce and asked you a couple questions. Well, now I've been single for a while. I'm 38, and I'm getting a lot of attention online because I'm a pastor, and I really don't want the attention, but I'm getting some questions from ladies, and I don't really know how to say no kindly. I have trouble trying to, and it sounds like, you know, whatever, people want to talk to me or whatever, but I don't know how to be kind and not lead people on.
So give me a really specific example if you can. I don't want to be too much divulging confidences, but the more specific we would be, the better I can help you.
Sure. A lady from my past, years ago, she was married, I was married. She has started messaging me over the last couple of weeks and kind of using the church angle and children and all that kind of thing just to kind of get me talking. Well, now that I'm talking, she revealed that she used to have a thing for me back several years ago. Both of us were married. Well, I'm not interested in anything right now. I'm just trying to raise my sons and get through this next phase of life. But I have a friendship with this girl, and I just don't know how to say, no, I'm not interested, but thank you very much for your reaching out. She lives several states away now, and I just don't know. I don't really know how. Thing at 38.
Yeah, I don't understand why you're having such difficulty, because you have the perfect sort of description of why you wouldn't want to go out, which is you're focusing on your family right now. You don't, you know, that she lives a long way away. I would just, is it that you want to maintain a friendship with her because you like talking with her and that feels good to you? I mean, and you're afraid you're going to shut everything down?
Gosh, I'll be honest with you. It's a real difficult thing because I like the attention.
Right.
I'll just be honest with you, I do.
Yeah.
But I don't want, it's so weird to like the attention and want to feel needed by somebody, but at the same time, not really want a relationship with them. And especially when she's pushing so much, and it's just,
right.
I just don't want to be mean to anybody, but at the same time, you know, it feeds my ego, and I'm just not sure.
Well,
how to draw boundaries.
I get it, and thank you for being honest. And it's sort of human to, you know, you'd feel lonely otherwise if you didn't have somebody you were talking to, and that's normal to feel good about talking to somebody. But why not? But you got to realize you don't want to be mean, but you're being terribly unfair to her by giving her the impression that, I mean, you wouldn't call it mean in an overt expression of aggression, but you are kind of being mean. By leading her to believe that there's a possibility here. And I think if you're going to be not mean to her, you just have to be just straightforward and honest.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm having a difficult, you know, I never saw myself in this position, being 38, being single and having to worry about all this, but I really appreciate that because I think you told me exactly what I need to do.
Yeah.
It's just hard to make that decision. I don't know.
I know. And you're being honest with yourself that, about how, you know, it feels good and that's why you like to do it. And you could even, I mean, here's one thing I'd watch out for. Let's say you were to tell her, you know, I really like talking with you. I like, you know, I enjoy this. This is really fun and meaningful to me. If you tell her that, you're leaving the door open in her mind for the possibility of a relationship. So I don't even think that's fair, given how she's behaving. So I think you got to kind of shut it down and think in terms of being mean is mean when you what has been mean is kind of leading around. So you can do what you got to do.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right, man.
I really appreciate it. Thank
All
you
right,
so much.
Good luck, man. See ya. Eric, what's going on there?
Wow, this is so cool. I'm actually talking to Dr. Drew. How are you?
Here we are. How about that?
Yeah, you know what? I listened to you and obviously Adam on the podcast, and I know you're doing kind of the meat heavy diet.
Yeah,
and I was just curious if you would ever talk with any of the plant based doctors.
Sure. I mean, that's sort of been the, not just the predominant, it's been the only voice out there for the last 10 years. You know, that's mm-hmm. all I've been talking to is plant-based. And myself, I was very much plant-based, mm-hmm. almost exclusively. But
who did you speak with?
Jeez. All the way back. Andrew Weil, all the way back. I mean, just, you know, it's been years and years. Oz is plant-based. Uh-huh. Almost anybody we spoke to was plant.
Got it.
And
right. I'm just curious.
And I have no objection to that at all. I mean, it may end up being the right thing. You know, it might be the correct thing. And maybe I'll one day be proven to have done something very unhealthy for myself. That's why I'm not advocating for the carnivore or the keto diet.
I know. And I'm never someone to be like a gotcha kind of thing that, yeah, you were wrong all this time. I was just, it seems to be kind of the rage now.
The keto
people
stuff, yeah,
kind of going the carnivore route, and
yeah, I think I'm really unconvinced that it's the right thing for young people, right? Uh-huh. I think the long term exposure to this could really be a problem. Somebody my age, I don't know. It's interesting. Our protein needs are way high. It's different, and we may find out that we need to have different diets for different age groups. I don't know. I'm certainly
sure. I think all that's fair. Yeah. I was just curious if you would ever talk to, say, Dr. Garth Davis or a Dr. Michael Greger or Joel Kahn. Joel Kahn was actually just on the Joe Rogan podcast. He's a cardiologist from Michigan.
Yeah, if you're a cardiologist, you're going to be very excited about plant-based diet. What's his name again, Joel?
Dr. Joel Kahn. Or
how do you spell that?
Dr. Garth Davis and Dr. Neil Barnard, they're all top-notch cardiologist. It's
Neil
just
Barnard,
like you. I'm a guy of the sciences. I have to look at it objectively.
Yeah,
kind
absolutely.
Of what led me to it. But I was just curious because it seems to be kind of the rage now, and people are, justifiably so excited about it. Anytime there's new type of craze. But
you're talking about the keto diet. No, whenever there's
keto carnivore. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we had. I had Steve Gundry on. Steve Gundry, who's sort of another version of the plant diet. He wrote the book called The Plant Paradox.
Right. So yeah. Joel Kahn actually was on The Doctors, and I mean, I'm not trying to sound like
yeah,
a jerk, but
please.
Kind of made him look bad because he made some ridiculous claims. Even though he is an educated guy, he's kind of spinning some of
yeah.
this certain things. But, you know, that's, again, I don't advocate doing like gotcha type things. I'm a man of just looking at what does it objectively say.
Who is the guy?
What these guys publish, which is all non-industry funded studies.
A very interesting guy to talk to was the guy, who is the carnivore guy, the new lipid guy. He's an engineer. I'm blanking on his name. I interviewed him, and this is the other side of the story, but he's really re-looking at the way lipid metabolism works, and he's had some mm-hmm. very interesting observations. I'm looking through my Twitter feed, see if I can just luckily.
Dr. Sean Baker?
Sean Baker's the carnivore guy. Yeah, Sean is the carnivore guy. This guy is actually a very careful scientist, and he's trying to he just feels that the modeling we've done on lipids has been somewhat wrong, and he's trying to sort of
Feldman?
Yes, Dave Feldman. Dave Feldman.
Well, I think it would be good then to maybe talk with those guys and say,
yeah,
I'm
like you. I'm open to everything. Tell me, how do you spell Joel's last name again? Joel.
Joel Kahn, K-A-H-N.
K-A-H-N.
Okay. I can probably get him in touch with you anyways. But,
all right, Gary, we should do that. It's more. I do those interviews more on the Swole Patrol, you know, podcast.
Yeah, right.
But I definitely
yeah,
get those guys over there for sure. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. And also, right. Adam said something the other day that, such a low blow.
To me
he
or you?
Kind of the No, on the. I was just listening to one of your episodes of Adam and Dr. Drew show.
Yeah.
And he said the plant-based people were kind of like his mom. And, I almost had to pull the car over.
That's hysterical. Well,
his
mom was.
Further from the truth.
His mom was that. She was way down that road. Way, way, way. But that 70s version of it. There was a 70s version of this, too. Where you literally the famous ad was a grape nuts ad where this guy, this so-called naturalist, says, if you ever eat a pine cone, some parts are edible. And people were, and that's, you know, that's sort of what Adam was raised on, was pine cones, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's why he has a little disdain.
It was like a dagger. I was like, no!
It's pretty funny. So, all right, Matt, so we'll look into that stuff for you, all right?
Very cool. Thank you. Very nice talking to you, Dr.
All right, you too. Thanks, Eric.
Okay, bye.
Let's see if we get some more calls in here. It's James. James, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? I was calling to see what you would do about seasonal depression.
Well, if you are formally diagnosed with seasonal affective disorder, the treatment is light therapy, right? There are these lights you can buy that are specifically designed. You have to sit in front of for a certain number of time every day. And if you strictly have a seasonal affective disorder, that tends to work very well. But how was it you were diagnosed?
Well, I was diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder.
Okay, well,
bipolar.
Okay, well, that's not seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah,
so those two disorders would overwhelm any seasonal issues.
Yeah, well, it's just the time of year has just been difficult. I guess more than anything.
Yeah, what's being done? Are you schizoaffective and bipolar? Is that what you said? What's being done for those conditions?
Abilify and Zoloft. I was doing well on the Abilify and Zoloft, but for some reason, like just today, it was pretty bad. I didn't want to get out of bed. Mm. Now I'm feeling good again, but I just don't want to go through the same thing again tomorrow.
And has this happened every December?
No, I guess just more recently than anything.
Okay, so maybe call the psychiatrist who's prescribing and tell him what happened. So
all right.
Going to make any adjustments, okay?
I will.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
And this is Jerry. What's up, Jerry?
Hi there.
Hey.
Hi. Hey, listen, I just found out somebody told me about this Refuge Recovery and Noah Levine. And I started like looking at some of the information. And I kind of started wondering about the difference between 12-step recovery and the Buddhist approach or Refuge.
Gary,
any thoughts on it?
Gary, please get me the This Life podcast that we went over. We interviewed Noah, Refuge Recovery. I'll say something like that. It was a while ago. It's obviously structured differently, right? Refuge has got a lot of good success. It's a Buddhist-based recovery program. All these programs end up being very similar, right, in terms of they may emphasize one thing or another, but ultimately these are interpersonal experiences, spiritual experiences, guided experience where you're encouraged to talk about shame and guilt and things you've done around your disease and share it with another person, right?
It doesn't appear to be numbered, but it was from February 2016.
February 2016, we talked to Noah.
Okay, I will look it up.
His actual program, I think, has closed, but his books and things are still around, and he's still around, I think.
He's very active on Facebook and running the meditations and such. And I just kind of thought, gosh, maybe it would be a good idea to step back. Of course, I don't know the whole story. And I have to tell you, I've taken workshops years ago with his dad, Stephen Levine and Andrea Levine. And
how crazy.
Such, humble people. And I don't know him, and you probably do, but I don't know. I'm wondering. I don't know that much about the Refuge Recovery. And well, I came up with, good old-fashioned 12-step.
Yeah. Well, 12-step.
I know there's ego. We have ego alcoholics, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, so here's the way I'd sort of frame this. 12-step has now evidence basis for success in sustained abstinence. So there is evidence basis for 12-step. So I can make an evidence-based recommendation to 12-step. I can't do that with Refuge because no one has studied it. What I can tell you,
but hold on,
I can give you testimonials from people I know who are in recovery and have great respect for him and have seen people who resist other forms of recovery or can't fully recover really get a lot out of this program. And I don't see a big downside to it. There's a lot of rich material in his ideas. I mean, he's a good guy. He's a very good guy. And he had a rough go in recovery himself. And the way he helps others is the way he was helped.
But you're saying there's – and I hear what you're saying. Thank you for that. I'm sure he is. But there's no metrics because,
right.
I mean, what's the longest someone is? How long has it been around? I didn't even know it was around.
That's right. So there's no clinical studies on it or anything like that. It's kind of a, you know, people get sober, as you know, through lots of different means, right?
And
lots of different things speak differently to different people. And I try not to get, you know, sort of in, too hung up on what someone's specific, you know, people get rational recovery. People get sober with that all the time. People get sober with other, you know, sort of other mutual aid societies. But mutual aid generally is the model that works as long as there's.
I have a friend who's newly sober and is a nurse, and she wasn't raised with God. She has issues with, you know, the second step and the God piece. So maybe something like that would be good for her.
Yeah.
I was raised Catholic. I wasn't practicing, but in 1981, 82, it was just like, you know, that piece, I got it right away. I believe. I still believe. Yeah.
I like when people struggle with the God thing because they have to come up with something to get them outside of their own head. And they can call it whatever they want. It can be whatever they want. But the immediate rejection of it means I'm not giving up control, essentially what that means. And I'm not willing to look at things bigger than myself.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that's a real problem if you're an alcoholic, right?
Yeah.
And so they need to let that shit go. All right. Thank you so much, Jared, for calling.
Thank you. You do great work. I just enjoy listening to you. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it so much.
Bye.
Well, look at this. We've got a special visitor. Don't touch my meat, Lynette. You can sit right here by me. Lynette Carolla with your Mahalo t-shirt. So how are you? She's sick, but she wandered in to talk to us. She very kindly.
I love Dr. Drew.
Well, thank you for coming
in
here. You're very sweet.
No, I'm going to jump in and point out that you can get that Mahalo t-shirt at adamcarolla.com along with all of our great merch.
That's why you get paid the big bucks, Keith.
There you go.
That's right. So sore throat, sinus burning.
Oh, my God. Drew.
Upper respiratory infection.
Oh, my God. And I can't be sick right now. I have so much to do. But I was fine this morning.
I know you get this is going around Southern California right now.
It is.
Yeah. And it lasts only a couple of days unless it goes into like a bronchitis or something, but it has not been doing that, most people. So
it really, my
bad sore throat
is killing me now. It was fine this morning.
Kid sick?
Sonny had a cold.
Yeah.
But not this bad. Everybody's different.
Hopefully it's just the virus that's getting it. I know you want it to go away, but.
I know. What can I do? Nothing.
And fluids, decongestants.
Like the
lots
airborne.
Of nutrition. What is that going to do?
Wait. Oh, so Adam?
There was a little bit of data that zinc might help, but that's sort of been debunked over the years.
Oh, Jerome, don't dash my dreams.
I'm sorry. Adam, what?
Adam says that you – is it you that said to put the salt tablets? Adam put –
Hydrolite.
Hydrolite with the salt tablet. He breaks open a salt tablet.
I think you're talking about Vinny Tortorich, who has a new salt product from his Pure Vitamin Club line. My wife takes those every night. She raves about them.
Why? What does it do?
It's just volume, right? Yeah. Volume is good. It's like Hydrolite. It's like an IV.
Oh.
Yeah. These things are good for you to keep you well hydrated when you're sick like this.
Okay.
That is a good thing.
Okay. Well, I'll do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, Drew.
Well, thank you for being on. You've been okay? I haven't talked to you in a long time.
I know. I was mad at Adam.
Shocking. Really? What happened?
Well, you tell me. So, well, it's just, you know, we're fine. Everything's fine.
Come on now. You tell me.
No, but so we're moving into a new house.
Yeah, I didn't know about this. You mentioned it today. When you let me ask questions about it.
It's right up the street.
Oh, my God. You guys keep doing that.
I know.
Moving, like,
but we're done. This is it.
What about the house he wanted to build?
That's what the thing was, is it came time to build a house, and he said we could spend 3 years and get divorced building this house, or this house came on the market and it checks all the boxes that we want. You know, it's got a view, it's private.
Nice.
So I said, all right, let's do that.
All right, good, cool.
So
I can't wait. When is it going
to
be?
This month. We're moving in December. Like, he wants us to be in by Christmas.
Did you sell the other one?
No.
Not yet.
So that's the nice thing. That I agree. We have our time. We can take our time. But he wants to be in. We got to get a Christmas tree for the kids. I mean,
in the new house.
Yes.
Yeah.
He wants to be in by Christmas.
Yeah.
And today's December 11th.
Mm-hmm. Have you got movers?
Oh, funny you should ask. This is why we got an argument. So we didn't really get an argument. In the beginning, Olga piped up and she goes, oh, Adam, that was a lot of work the last time. It was just me and Lynette. can we please get some? He goes, we got Rob. We got Rob and a truck.
Uh-oh.
Rob and a truck.
Uh-oh.
And she said, well, that's what happened last time. Lynette and I were moving the couches from the – we were literally moving couches from the whatever.
He sees – some of these moving organizations are swift and sure and relatively inexpensive.
Yes. If memory serves, didn't a bunch of clothes fall out on the freeway?
Yes. Yes. They're
Gary's
still
laughing.
I know.
Well, still in the store.
I know. Rob, I feel bad, but I have this image of Rob in my head running across the 210 freeway or whatever it was, scared to death of his boss but dodging full-speed traffic.
Right. And he saved a couple ties and silk jackets or whatever. But one of them has a tire mark on it. And he still wears it.
Oh, my God.
We can't see it. It doesn't read on TV.
Maybe for – I got maybe for Christmas present for him, movers.
Movers. Okay. Well, he doesn't want movers because he's like, look, we're getting the tech guy over there. We're getting all this. We're putting a little bit of whatever money is going to add up. So, we don't have to be out by a date. That's the nice thing. Just have Olga come like every day from 9 to 6, even though Olga doesn't come 9 to 6. Olga comes and leaves whenever she wants.
Really?
But have Olga come 9 to 6 and she could start packing up and moving, box by box by box. We have two home offices and then we have the two kids and we have our bedroom. And we have the kitchen. And And so.
And these movers, they sweep in and
I know, they take everything out. I never had that.
Because my kids have to move in New York City frequently. Mm-hmm. And even my kids out here have had to move a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And they hire these guys for like $300 and it's just.
I know. They take care of it. So
yeah.
He said, okay, get a quote because Olga piped up. We got a quote. And then. And then I told him, well, for a whole crew to come and take care of everything and get it done in a day since we want to be in by Christmas, it's going to cost $3,000, $4,000.
Mover?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
To pack and unpack.
They're charging that?
This is a high-end place. I know. Move on, right? So I said, well, if I can get the price down. He goes, no, let's not. We don't need it. And then
why don't you just get someone to move the furniture?
That's what
just
I said.
Move
the big stuff. Yeah. But I don't care. Let him move the big stuff.
Yeah,
with Rob,
right.
I want someone to help me pack and unpack. So anyway, the thing that really steamed my bean was when he said, don't be afraid of hard work.
Oh.
When I'm here every night with now I got the virus, and here every night packing up these Christmas crates that have to be out in the mail by a certain date. It's a lot of work. That's over 100 Christmas crates, plus all the Black Friday stuff that needs to be get. But we have a fulfillment center that I'm heading up now, me and Emmy.
How's the Corolla Drinks doing?
Great.
Yeah.
But that's the problem. It's just me and a couple volunteers. These people that are here tonight helping me, they're fans. They're just,
what?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, but don't be afraid of hard work, he says. And then but really, like, that's what your husband says to the wife that's over here.
I know that's not a chick thing to say that.
No,
that's my wife
would
say. Yeah.
But it's bleeding into Natalia.
Uh-oh.
Because she's starting to treat me the way Adam treats me. She's got that teenage, that preteen attitude, and she's treating Olga that way as well.
It gets so crazy as they approach. It builds all the way to like 18. Good
it's
times.
It's scary. Mm. Yeah. And, and she's Natalia, and she's her friends talk about cutting now and stuff like that. And she's trying to get attention. But anyway, it's starting to bleed into Natalia. And I'm starting to see like, do I cause an argument and go, hey, Adam's never going to admit to he's wrong.
No.
Have you ever in your whole entire life knowing him, have you ever heard him say, yeah, you're right. I was kind of out of line.
No, not out of line. But occasionally if you make a very targeted good point, he'll go, yeah, I can see that, but.
Mm-hmm. Occasionally, right. Yeah. But, right. And it's usually in front of other people when he admits. Like, yeah.
I don't see you guys alone, so I don't know if he capitulates. I bet he would capitulate, but you have to make a really good point.
Yes, which is
very
rare. Right.
Oh, my God, this is awful.
I know.
And it's the holidays and the kids.
So just now, I got the quote down to $2,500.
Mm.
It's still a lot.
I don't know. All I know is we've been using these cheap groups for. I should find out what the. You should text my son. See what.
Okay.
Where he got that cheap stuff.
Okay.
Because he's been raving about it because there's nothing to it. They rare through there, but mm-hmm. it's you know, a law student's
right.
stuff. You know.
Right.
But he had a bunch of. He's a musician too. He had a bunch of stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, well, but it's not a house.
Yeah. See, we're dealing, and it's Christmas time, and again with the merchandise here and all that stuff. It's just a lot. Do we take calls?
This is a call coming. Let's take one. This is okay. Jose. Jose, what's up?
Hey, Dr. Drew, how are you, sir?
We're good.
Long-time listener, guys. I got a quick kind of weird question. I started this job here in North Kent, Ohio. I work with this guy. And every time I speak to him about different subjects, I can see his lips moving like he's repeating every word that I say.
Oh.
Why he does that?
He literally parrots your words back to you with his lips.
Yes.
Is there tell me anything else you notice about him?
I know he's divorced. He has some drama at home. I heard a few little things about his family, but I don't know. He's just so weird that it bothers me every time I speak to him. You can see his little lips just like pretty much repeating every word I said.
I understand, but I need...
Just a little small movement on his lips.
I understand, but I need to understand more about him. In other words, does he have tics or twitches, or does he have any upset, preoccupation?
No, he doesn't.
OCD type, sort of repetitive behaviors or anything?
He might be OCD, yes.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's sort of in that zone. You had anxiety and OCD. Sometimes people, it's almost like a tic. And it would not be that unusual. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's just his tic.
Oh, okay.
It would be the same.
Sometimes it bothers me. Sometimes I think it's funny, but it's annoying.
I'm sure it's annoying, and I'm sure he would rather stop it. But it's not different than if he was like blinking a lot or screwing
he
up his nose.
Can't control it.
He can't control it, and it's those kinds of tics are really kind of hard to deal with, especially if he's an older gentleman. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not young.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, you know, there's an organization called the International IOCDF, okay, Jose? It's the International Organization of International Obsessive Compulsive Disorder Federation, IOCDF,
foundation.
Right? I got
I don't know how to break it to him.
Foundation. What's that?
I don't know how to break it to him.
Well,
I don't know, he might...
I
take it offensive.
Yeah. I that seems like such a... you know, it's something that it could bother him, make him feel insecure if you brought it. But if you were to see any other repetitive behaviors, maybe you could get him to the IOCDF.org. They've got a ton of resources there. It's one of the greatest organizations. I've had so many people – thank you, Jose. I've had patients and colleagues have severe OCD.
Really?
And that organization has just – all these resources for helping people, and they do such a great job, and people get better.
Really?
Mm.
What about a child that does it? I have a friend that has
– IOCDF.org. They have children's programs there too. Gary, what was the pod I did with Elizabeth McIngale? You know what I'm talking about? Remember
that her? Name does not sound familiar. Hold on. Elizabeth McIngale?
I'm sure she was on this podcast. She was a – she's a young woman from Texas whose OCD was so bad she was actively suicidal. She couldn't get out.
Oh,
she couldn't get
sad.
Out of her bedroom. Because she'd have to put on and off clothing and in and out of showers
yeah,
so many times.
Yeah, I remember that. Episode
remember?
251.
251, Liz McIngale.
Mm, that's so and horrible.
McIngale. Doctor, podcast1.com/premium for all the access
yeah.
to that.
Well,
stuff.
She went to Menninger's and they gave her exposure therapy back before they really knew that's exactly what do people like this.
What's exposure therapy?
Where they sort of – as opposed to – you know, this is why I object so strongly to safe spaces, because you're supposed to do when people have a strong phobic reaction is expose them.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you don't like dogs, you're afraid of dogs, you don't hide from dogs the rest
right.
of your life. You slowly expose to dogs in a therapeutic context mm-hmm. where the therapist sort of helps them. And they did this exposure therapy. They had to have her put on certain color clothes and certain kinds of sweaters that she had phobic sort of preoccupations
yeah.
about. And now she's one of the most capable therapists in
wow.
The country.
Wow.
And heads up one of the IOCDF organizations.
That's so, really cool.
Right? Isn't yeah. that a great story? I mean, you would
yeah.
not ever see her as this disabled patient with a psychiatric problem because she's such a capable professional wow. now. But she says she has to still work on it, and it's something that's with her, and it's part of her biology, and she still has to deal with it.
You know, that reminds me. Adam was telling Sonny, I have to bring him up again, but Adam was telling Sonny the other night about the story where he snapped you out of your panic attack. And Sonny thought it was a cruel thing to do. He did.
Sonny is absolutely correct.
And Sonny was like, yeah, he was – when I got home, Sonny was telling me what him and – me and Dad were walking, and he was that's when Adam brought up the fact, like, Sonny, you don't want to be afraid to do hard work, okay? You got – and I'm like, what are you telling this kid? And then he said, Dad told me about the time that he tried to cure Dr. Drew of his panic attack. And I actually thought it was particularly cruel. That's what he said.
Good for him. All right. Well, let me just say that at that point in my life, I could get over panic attacks. And that's sort of why I wanted a break, just to sort of recoup myself. Mm-hmm. If he had tried to do that with me at 19 when I was having severe panic attacks, I would have been disabled by that.
Right.
Disabled. Mm-hmm. Because I was already kind of disabled by panic at that point. I mean, it was really just a mind-boggling panic I used to get into.
Like
where
what?
I couldn't function. I just couldn't. I couldn't even get up. And
something trigger it?
Having generalized anxiety disorder, some childhood trauma, and then being wired for panic. Mm. And then sort of being out of control at that and not being – I didn't have any oars in the water. I was just rudderless at that point.
Yeah.
And
so if he would have done that at that time
– it would have been horrible. Would not have worked at all. But later in life when things were kind of going okay, this was sort of just a remnant kind of – it almost wasn't even a panic attack. It was just feeling like overwhelmed that I couldn't function.
What did you do? You came into the dressing
room. I came into my dressing room. I said, I just need to compose myself. And your husband came in and said, hey, I'm not going to sit here one more goddamn minute than I have to. You get your ass on out there. Let's finish this show. You don't have to say a thing. I'll carry. You don't have to worry about it. I'm like, all right, I can go back out there. I was mostly concerned that I couldn't do a good job. That's the biggest reason I was sort of not functioning well. I'd had a fight with Jon Favreau about an hour before.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that why he gives you the – he makes your skin crawl?
No, he doesn't. No, I like Jon Favreau. I actually like him. But here's what happened was he was – I take some of these calls seriously. And we were on Loveline on MTV and Favreau was the guest. It was just after that first thing he did, the shoot –
you mean
Swingers? It was just after Swingers. Mm-hmm. And his kid called in and he was actively psychotic. And I was like, hey, I'm sure somebody's trying to treat you. Yes, they don't know what they're doing. I go, please take the medicine. That psychiatrist, trust him. And Favreau goes, don't you take any medication. Don't you trust anybody.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, this dude is actively psychotic. This is not okay.
Right.
And we got in a fight
over God. It.
And then I sort of had a reaction later. So,
right.
So that was
It
was so irresponsible. I'm like, how dare you say that?
Right.
You know, physicians sitting next to you saying, look, this is very dangerous. Mm-hmm. And you tell him, do whatever you want. The guy's psychotic. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
So anyway,
did he apologize?
No, but we later made up like months later. So I have nothing but good things to say about Jennifer. So listen, thank you for spending some time.
Of course, thanks
and,
for having
me. I hope you
me.
Feel better.
Thank you.
And
I would hug you, but I don't
I'm not going to get near you. No, thank you.
And I hope this microphone somebody needs to sterilize.
All right, fair enough.
And thanks, Drew.
That about does it. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
For call-in times and topics, follow the show on Twitter at Dr. Drew Podcast. That's D-R-D-R-E-W Podcast. The music from today's episode can be found on the swinging sounds of the Dr. Drew Podcast, now available on iTunes. And while you're there, don't forget to rate the show. The Dr. Drew Podcast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana and Gary Smith. For more information, go to drdrew.com. All conversation and information exchanged during the participation in the Dr. Drew Podcast is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or medical advice or direction. Nothing on these podcasts supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Although Dr. Drew is a licensed physician with specialty board certifications by the American Board of Internal Medicine and the American Board of Addiction Medicine, he is not functioning as a physician in this environment. The same applies to any professionals who may appear on the podcast or drdrew.com.